So just to go quickly over it, 21, we know we've been hungering for God, and I've been personally dissatisfied as a pastor and as a man for a long time. And we started hungering for God, and so we called a fast, 21-day fast in January, and God honored us in the end of January. Roy Fields called us, said he had one weekend open, so he came. After the Lakeland Revival, where he'd been ministering to 10,000 people every night, he came here. And maybe, is it cold in here at the front? You're okay. So, and as you know, he came and he stayed instead of a weekend. He was here 11 days. And then he called Steve to come down. Steve Smith, who's an Australian revivalist, came from New Hampshire and he's moved his family here. And we've been holding meetings ever since. I want to encourage all of you, if you only come to church on Sunday, you need to avail yourself to at least one more night a week, either Tuesday night when you can actually learn how to move in the Holy Spirit, or Friday night and Sunday night. Tonight's going to be a great night. Last Sunday night, we baptized 79 people. And when the testimonies came out, I've never heard testimonies like it. And I want to encourage you that that there really is another place in God that you need to experience. God is not a Sunday morning God. He is not a, you know, peace and quiet God. The Bible talks about the noise of thunder in heaven. And that's talking about the voices of the people. So anyway, so we've been doing that. Roy came back and visited us this weekend, and it was just quite a time. But the most important thing that I feel the Lord's been showing us is how important it is for us folks, especially boomers. It is our responsibility. We have served God in our generation, or at least we should have done. So now, how can we help the next generation? How can we help them? How can we train them, encourage them, get behind them, lead them? Finance them if they've got things to do. And the young people that here last night, this place was just packed with youngsters. We've had people move from their towns, come to move here. So everything's happening. Another church, as you know, has joined us. Another ministry in town wants to work with us. So these things are happening. We are going to be doing a tent meeting at the end of August. Haven't got a final date, or we haven't got permission yet, but we want to do, but we think we'll get it. In which case, that Sunday of the tent meeting, we will be closing this church Sunday morning and all meeting at the tent meeting. So, that'll scare some of you, won't it? Church with no walls, hallelujah. So this is what we're doing. This is what God is showing us and leading us to do. And I want to encourage you to be part of it. Just want to take a couple of minutes. My wife and I are leaving for Jerusalem tomorrow. And it is not a vacation. It's a mission. 2 years ago when I was in Zambia, I was speaking to the young people saying how Zambia, Livingstone, I've been going to Zambia since 1990. On the other side of the gorge, the Zambezi Gorge, is of course Zimbabwe, which I first went in 1975. So we have a lot of life and even some blood there in Zambia. It's a great heritage to us. I remember saying to them that Livingstone was the second most important city in my life after Kingston. And as I said it, the Holy Spirit rebuked me and said, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my tongue cleave unto my mouth, and may my right hand forget its cunning. And immediately I realized that I had been ignoring the apple of God's eye, which is Israel. Now, Israel is a very important city in my life. Wendy and I lived there for 3 years. But it's not just that, it is the most important city in God's agenda. Israel, people can say what they like, those of you that may think that the church replaced Israel, it absolutely did not. And I was just thinking this morning, I was on a train in China going from Guangzhou to Chongqing in 1983. And I went up to the first class carriage, because Wendy and I, of course, and the children were traveling second or third class, I can't remember which. And I thought it was wonderful in a communist country that they had first class, second class, and third class. I thought, okay, that's an oxymoron if you're a communist. But anyway, so I went up there and found a carriage and just kind of went in there. There were two people, an old Chinese communist and a Jew. So I sat down. Yes, this is a joke. There was the Chinese, the Jew, and the Englishman in a train from Guangzhou to Chongqing. Except I was there and it happened. So, and I always remember sitting down and convincing the Jew by talking to the Chinese about Jesus, and convincing the Chinese communist about God by talking about the Jews. So I was preaching to each one of them through the other one. So while I was preaching to the Jew, I was actually preaching to the Chinese. And while I was preaching to the Chinese, I was actually preaching to the Jew. But the amazing thing is that old communist, I don't know how old he was, probably wouldn't look so old to me now. I remember at the end of it all, he sat there and astounded me and said, "Oh, well, he's Jewish." He said, "Everybody knows God loves the Jews." I thought, it's interesting how a guy who doesn't believe in God knows that the God loves the Jews. And God does love the Jews. They are God's chosen people, and we have been grafted into them. So therefore, every promise of God that ever came to Israel has come upon us. So the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles. That's what the book of Galatians clearly teaches. The good thing is the curse of the law did not come upon us. Now, if that ain't good news, I don't know what is. That means we only get the blessing? Uh-huh. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we're a noisy church. God gave Israel, God spoke in the book of Genesis and said to Abraham, "I've given you the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession." I don't know what your interpretation of everlasting is. To me, it is not the Energizer bunny. And it means that God ain't changing his mind. So therefore, the land of Canaan belongs to the Jews. The land of Canaan. The church can't replace that. Are we okay so far? I want to read you just briefly some verses before I change the subject. The reason is because we are going to Israel on a mission, because we need to connect what God is doing here to what God is doing there. The scripture says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. You realize that? Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. He's talking about Israel. Here we go. This is the verse I want you to hear. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So when the Jews accept Jesus Christ, that is revival. That is revival. The worldwide revival has everything to do with the salvation of Israel. Is anybody listening to me this morning? That's why I'm going. I'm going there because I believe God is going to speak to me. He's going to help link things together. We need to understand Paul's desire above all else that Israel will be saved. We must not ignore them. And I am not going to forget Israel anymore. So my wife is going to go there. I need your prayer while I'm there. I need to hear from God. At one time, I'm actually staying for 3 days. We're actually staying inside the old city. There's only one hotel inside the old city. And we're going to stay in there. It's a little Arab hotel. I'm all excited to be there Friday night for the Sabbath, Saturday for the Sabbath, and Sunday to be part of that ancient city. It's just very important. I appreciate your prayers, and I really need God to speak to my heart about the future. Plus, of course, we are going there to spy out the land, because next year we want to take a tour, and we need to fill up a bus. Anybody want to come? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, I'm changing the subject. Now we want to talk about the house. And we are going to this morning set five pastors into the church. And they are going to be the pastoral team. And this is very important for us. We want to commission them. We want to charge them. We want to make sure it's clear in their minds that what we are expecting of them according to the word. So before we do that, I want us to begin to show a structure of the way that we're building the church. A lot of what's happened, of course, you remember the book of Ezra, when they rebuilt the temple, that when the new foundation went in, the young people got excited and the old people cried. The Bible says you couldn't discern the difference. Now, we've realized this. Unfortunately, we've experienced this. Maybe I haven't handled it as well as I should have done or I could have done. But a lot of people have cried and run away because they don't understand what foundation is being laid. The foundation of the church is upon the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. So if we could start there, King's Fire International is going to be the name of our ministry. We are not building a church. We are building a movement. We are building something that is going to make a difference. We are not just looking for another hamburger joint in Kingston. Is anybody listening to me? For years, we've had Wendy's, Burger King, and McDonald's competing against each other. And then guess what turned up? Five Guys. Hallelujah. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Five Guys turned up. Hallelujah. But then, because of the fickleness of our culture, Sonic turned up. So who the heck's Five Guys? We're going to Sonic. This is why we are no longer going to be in the hamburger ministry. We are not going to be in the ministry. My audience over here. My flesh and blood. Praise God. I should have had one more. Philip had four. Anyway. So we're not in the hamburger, we're not going to compete with hamburgers. We're not just going to be another church with the same hamburgers, just a slightly different sauce, okay? We're going to be a church that's going to sell steak. Steak, grilled to perfection. King's Fire International. Now, you see there it's called frontman. I'm acknowledging the call of God upon my life, which is primarily I'm an apostolic prophet. I'm also a teacher. I'm also a pastor. And my evangelism is improving. Hallelujah. So next one. We are linked at the moment. I've only shown one, but we are linked to many other apostolic ministries like Overland Missions and all of our friends like Mike Petzer there in Arizona and others. But Dr. Leon, those of you that had the privilege of sitting under his ministry a few weeks ago would have understood what a man of God you were sitting with. So he's going to be part of my accountability. And over here is the apostolic council which we're developing. Of Steve and I are in it at the moment, and we have one intern who is part of that. The idea of the apostolic council, you may remember in Acts chapter 13 when it said, when the Holy Spirit spoke and said, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul, or Saul as he was still called, for the ministry that I've got for them. So that is what we are doing, that God is separating us for something more than just this house at the moment. And for that reason, we need to set other people in. So let's go. Keep going. And the next one. Right, there we go. So as you can see, we have Steve, who is part of the house as a revivalist. And so he can speak into the house. We have the meetings, as I say, Tuesday night, Friday night, Sunday night. We have our own meeting Saturday night. We also have Saturday morning school. Avail yourself to some of these meetings so God can begin. We see over here in the admin, Lisa, if I announced last week, but some of you weren't here, is retiring, if you can do such a thing at that age. But so Carrie has already, God had already prepared, when Lisa told me on Tuesday, I already knew God had spoken to my heart, and by Tuesday she said that she wanted to retire because of the various pressures in her life, and by Thursday we already had a replacement. So this is when God is moving, great things are happening. And so there, I just want you to see there, so we want to thank God for Lisa. She'll be around for months and months and months, don't get me wrong, it's going to take that long to hand over. So then we move down and see the next is the pastoral team. Josh is going to be my executive pastor, whatever that means. We'll go into that detail later. But you can see there's Gary and Tony and Rich and Don. And these are the men that I'm going to lay hands on and set them in office. The Bible says in the book of Titus chapter 1, when Paul said to Timothy, he said, I left you in Crete to set in order the things that are lacking and to appoint elders in every city, to appoint men of God, according to 1 Peter 5, which I'll read later, which says, you know, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, take in oversight. These are things that we want to encourage everybody. We have five pastors in this church, and we need to learn to how to begin to relate to them, how to begin to work with them, how to begin to understand that there is now a broader base, a stronger team. We have gained, we have lost nothing. Too many people, they perceive, and perception, of course, uninformed perception always becomes truth. They perceive that change is loss. Change is not loss, change is gain. Hallelujah. If you're not willing to change, trust me, you'll be finished at 35. Really. So here we have just the next one, as you can see, again, the five men and different things coming under different men. One of the things I just want to stop there. Well, okay, you can put them all up. That's great. Is the planning under Gary? You can see there. It's got. We're going to be calling that strategic planning. We have a strategic planning team that are professional people. They know what they're doing. They know that how to build by structure, how to build by planning, by order. That this is what we're doing. You can't have wine without a wineskin. So what we're doing here is showing you the wineskin. And this is going to be a strong wineskin. It's going to be something. Each one of the five pastors there is going to have an intern that's be appointed to them to begin to help train them. Not necessarily in pastoral things, because, for instance, as you can see on the far right, Pastor Don is very, very experienced in evangelism, in reaching out to people in the streets, in the prisons. And there are young men that we want to put under that anointing, under that understanding, and so we can have oversight into what God is doing to and through the house. Rich, of course, is more of a teacher. We're going to change the name of VLC to King's College. Hallelujah, I like that name. King's College makes you sound clever, doesn't it? And so it goes on, you know, and nobody is restricted to anything, but I just want to finish that thought on the planning. The planning, as the same as the administration, is not a function as most people would think. It is a spiritual ministry according to Romans 12. Romans 12 talks about spiritual ministries, including the ministry of giving, and the ministry of administration. It is a spiritual ministry that God puts in the church. And these are things what we need to understand. Even though the function is natural, it's spiritual. Are we okay? Those of you that remember the sermon I preached on Yachin and Boaz, the two pillars in the entranceway to the temple, Yachin was the high priest, Boaz was a businessman. We want to encourage these things to understand that we need the professionals and business people and self-employed and just plain old sort of kind of rich folks or whatever they are to get plans and get strategies. We want to be able to write grants and things or grants, whatever you call them over here, to be able to see that there is a wealth of money in America. In case you know, we may be in a recession, but we sure ain't broke. We are the wealthiest nation in the world by far, and there is money, the Bible clearly says, that is laid up by the heathen for the work of God. And we need to tap into that because we have many, many things that we can use it for. I'm not just talking about evangelism. I'm talking about the work of benevolence, that there is, as we say and sing, dance upon injustice. We want to be able to help the 6.7 billion people in this world who are dying from malaria, who are dying because they don't know what fresh water is, who are dying because they're starving. Remember when we sent that nearly $4,000 to ship that food to Zimbabwe? You remember that? When I got the word from Ethiopia, 26 tons of food went over there to a country that is 94% unemployed. That $1 is now worth 37 million Zimbabwe dollars. You think we have inflation? 37 million to one. And we are helping those people through this church. We are helping through the Life Project. We are helping. We have a young team going over just... When are you leaving soon? You've got a date? End of June? I forgot that team earlier that's going over to Zimbabwe to help with the Life Project. We are representing Overland Missions as their northeast office here in this house. So I just want to encourage you, get involved. There's plenty to do. We are still totally interested and thankful about feeding the people in Kingston, and we still have a clothing ministry. We have a food bank. We have those things for local people. So we are not just looking around the world for something to do. We are being busy in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Are we okay with this? Right, we are going to get busy for Jesus. Hallelujah. Is this reasonably clear to people? I hope so, because that's about all I've got at the moment. So thanks, Daniel. So I don't want to take any more time. I would like to invite the ladies to come forward and their husbands. The ladies can sit. If you, a wonderful gentleman, could get out of the way so these ladies can be seen. Hallelujah. So ladies, come and sit here. Appreciate all of you. Let me quickly explain why I'm separating it like this. Praise God. You want to get this out of the way? The Bible says very clearly five times in the New Testament, wives submit to your own husbands. So therefore, I am a strong believer that it is not my position to be able to charge another man's wife. Can we sit still so we can talk, so we can not be distracted? Thank you, Lord. It's an important place. This is probably the most pivotal day in the history of this church. This is probably the most pivotal day in the history of this church. And I'm thanking you all for being here to witness it and record it. Functionaries are spiritual. Praise God. Let me say it again. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, who gave himself for it. Wives, submit to your own husbands, not Wendy's husband. I'm big on this. This to me is extremely important. We must have order. We must have order. The Bible is very clear. Law and order is an oxymoron. Authority and order is essential. Our country is on the brink of anarchy. I hope you can hear me this morning. Our country is on the brink of anarchy. If we do not get church government correct, then how do we expect any other kind of government to be correct? There's four kinds of government on this earth. There's civil government, family government, self-government, and church government. And the only one I can help you with is the church government, and then I'm responsible for my self-government and my family government. And these are important things. The Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulders. So this is why it's important what we're doing today. So therefore, ladies, you are obviously, to that degree, part of this pastoral team. And I'm very thankful to be laboring with you in the harvest field. I appreciate your lives, your ministries. I appreciate your integrity. I appreciate the gifts of God that is upon your life. I appreciate and acknowledge every good gift that is in you in Christ Jesus. I acknowledge the fact that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. And we want to acknowledge and recognize you and applaud you for everything you've done so far and will do. Let's give thanks to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We also want to say this. We do not encourage, hear me clearly now. Please don't ever think you know what I'm not saying. You don't. Wendy doesn't, and we've been together 34 years. So don't try and guess what I'm not saying. hear clearly what I am saying. What I am saying is we do not encourage divorce. What I am saying is all divorcees in this church are acknowledged as complete people, as whole people, as people who are welcomed in our midst. You are welcome to go into the ministry the same as anybody who has never had that traumatic experience. We are not receiving people in this house like there is something wrong with you because of the circumstances of life. There is forgiveness. There is the blood of Jesus. There is a God who redeems, who restores, who revives, who renews. And that is the God we serve. Can you say amen? Before I go any further, I'd like to say we are setting you in a church that will be controversial. We are setting you in a church that will have a good and a bad name in this community. So therefore, I'm saying that because I am at that stage in my life where I do not believe people should stay in dead churches. I think they should leave it and come here. Or some other apostolic church in the community that is preaching the full gospel. I do not believe that people should stay in churches that are dead, thinking they can change the church from the pew. That is anarchy. That is out of order. You cannot change a church without the pastor changing. Ask me how I know. Are we okay? We are going to be a controversial church. We're going to be a church that is going to be accused of many things. We're going to be a church that's going to be skilled, not in justifying ourselves, but in sharing the vision that God has given us. We are Kings Fire International. Is there any part of that you don't understand? I'm giving you these just as reminders of this day. I'm not going to overcook this. But there is these scriptures that I want to share with these men. And it's important for us to... Sorry, I got a mouse. The first one. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And finally, if you could put those cards down, I want to be able to say this to you gentlemen, and I want to say this to anybody else. I'm sorry if we didn't make it clear about the leadership team that was underneath the pastoral team. We did have it on the slide, I believe. We have already identified 54 leaders and potential leaders in this church. If you aren't one of them, it's because you're not doing something. Not because you're not good enough. We haven't identified you yet as actually doing something. So if you want to be part of the leadership team, you're welcome. You are invited. But it's work and it's labor. And it's something what we want in this church. This church is going to become a church with excellence. We want people who want to be a 10 in their calling. I was about a 7 or an 8 as a pastor, so that's why I need to be a 10 of what I really am. So each and every one of you, I can say this to you. Be a 10 in what you are doing. We just saw a 10 of three on three young ladies who glorified God in a dance that just gave him all the glory and the praise. So the charge is this: preach the word, not our opinion. Preach the word, not philosophy, not empty deceit. Don't try and convince people with what this world likes to hear. We are not building a church around people. We are building a church around the glory of God. This is what we are doing. I expect you to be, as the scripture says, ready in season and out of season. We are not going to be a church that is going to allow the excuses of this world and the excuses of circumstances and the excuses of you don't know the trouble I've seen. You're right, we haven't seen the trouble you've seen, but Jesus has seen the trouble you've seen, and Jesus has dealt with all of the trouble you've seen, and his glory and his righteousness and his forgiveness and his grace is greater than any trouble you have ever seen. And I want to encourage you, if your problem is bigger than God, you are worshiping your problem. Did I make that clear enough? Am I smiling yet? Because sometimes I smile like a bald eagle. And if you haven't known what an eagle looks like, you never know when they're smiling. Did you hear what I say? Don't worship your problem. Worship means to pay attention to. So if your problems and your pains and your history are more important than your service to God, you're worshiping an idol. Just want to encourage you in that thought. Preach your word, be ready in season, out of season. Convince. Convince. Be persuaded of what you're saying. Be persuaded. The scripture says in Hebrews 11:13, these men all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed. That's what we need to be. Rebuke. Wow. That we can't do in America. I forgot that part. Because then they leave five guys and go to Sonics. Thanks, Sean. That was pretty funny, wasn't it? I'm glad you're here, mate. I'll be honest. If you want to be part of this church, you need to make a decision now that you're not going to be as easily offendable as you have been up to now. We okay? There's been too many people that as soon... I mean, I am a man who's accountable. You know what Dr. Leon did me? He blessed me. He gave me a 43-page questionnaire and said, fill that in. Well, that was one thing, but it's when he phoned me back and told me now what I got to do. But if you don't have anybody in your life that you're accountable to, trust me, you will not grow into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. You will not. You will get stuck, and you will start complaining, whining, gossiping, murmuring, mumbling, and you will not receive the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. I promise you. Yeah. Exhort with all long suffering and teaching. So, you know, I'd wonder if we could all stand for this moment as I pray for these brothers. If you're not comfortable, stand. Please remain seated. If you're more comfortable, I'm not putting a demand on that. But Father, in Jesus' name, I want everybody who agrees with me, I want everybody to who wants to be part of the house, the vision, the movement, that's going forward, to agree as I pray for these men. Father, in Jesus' name, I lay hands on these men, and I thank you. I thank you that we've found these men to be trustworthy, men of integrity, men of faith, men of generosity, men of kindness. Men that are not going to be limited by their natural giftings, but men who are going to realize that there is a God, and it is their God whom they serve. So, Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that the grace of the living God will be sufficient for them, that they shall receive from you much more than they could have received in the natural. Lord, that they will be able to say that their sufficiency is of God, that they are ambassadors for Christ, that they will shepherd the flock of God that is among them, that they will be instant in season and out of season, that they will be found those who desire to serve, to lift, to encourage, to exhort, to rebuke, to allow the word of God to be rightly divided in their life. They will do the work of an evangelist. They will train. They will lift people high. They will not be afraid to visit, to go to the prisons, to go to the streets, to go to those who are shut in, to visit the widows, to visit the orphans. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for them. I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God to come upon them now and take them to a new place in Jesus, that their lives will never be the same from this day forth, that we can say, blessed be the name of the Lord, and look what the Lord has done for these men. And Father, we continue to lift the name of Jesus, that Father, we thank you that these are men who are full of the Holy Ghost, who want to see the fire of God move in their life, that they want to see a change. They want to see it in their lives, their homes, their health, their finances, everything about them. Lord, we bless them in Jesus' name. We thank you for them. We say, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Walk in love, walk in life, walk in liberty. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed with me just gave thanks to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Gentlemen, stand to your feet. We're going to close the meeting now because I think that everything that the Lord showed me to do today, again, covet your prayers. Don't forget Joe. Shake his hand. Bless your cotton socks. And if you need to write a check, then go for your life. But be a blessing to him. But now all I want every one of us to do, as always, we invite you to join us for coffee and the goodies that we always have. Thank God for the hospitality in this house. Can you say amen?